Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop podcast. We're in our special new echo chamber this week. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson.
Hello, Keith.
Hello.
It's been a while. How are you?
Has it been a while? It's just been a week.
I mean, I guess that's it, huh?
Yeah. It's only been a week. if the show sounds different this week, it's because we're recording it in a different room they're doing construction in our studio.
It's going to be a new and exciting studio that you will get to see a lot of on Facebook Live very soon.
Yeah, it's supposed to look amazing and beautiful, and yeah, hopefully I'm not overselling it too much. But yeah, so if any part of this show sounds wonky, we're blaming it on the fact that we're in a not normal room.
Yeah, it's not on us.
It's not our fault. If anyone barges in and says, hey, we have a meeting in here, blame it on them. Well, the Billboard Pop Shop podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. This week on the show, we'll be talking about how DJ Khaled gets his first number one album on the Billboard 200 chart with Major Key.
All he does is win.
All he does is win, no matter what. The Chainsmokers debut straight into the Billboard Hot 100 Top 10 with their new collaboration with Halsey called Closer. There's a rumor that Lady Gaga is going to release new music in the next month. What have we heard?
Fingers crossed.
I know. It's called Fingers Crossed.
Yeah, yes, that's the official name. No.
No.
Fingers crossed for new Gaga.
And Britney Spears dropped her new video for Make Me, but it wasn't what fans were expecting. So we'll be talking with BuzzFeed's deputy editor and chief Britney expert, Matt Stopera, about the new clip and his thoughts on the new album Glory, which is due out on August 26th. But before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/billboardpodcasts. Before we jump into the show, Katie, did you watch any of the Olympics yet? Because the Olympics kicked off last Friday night in Rio de Janeiro.
I've been watching a lot of Olympics, actually. And I watched my very first opening ceremony.
I find that so unbelievable. We briefly talked about it. We tried to save everything for the show.
Save it for the podcast.
But we briefly talked about it earlier, and Katie has never seen an opening. Have you seen closing ceremonies before?
Never.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so what'd you think? I didn't see it yet.
I've always seen clips of them. Like, you know, you mentioned the London one being especially spectacular. Obviously had a lot of star power. And then the China one that was so massive that had all the, like, synchronized percussion.
Nuts.
However many years ago. I've seen, like, pieces of ceremonies, but I've never actually sat down and watched the whole thing.
Like, the full, like, four-hour extravaganza.
Full disclosure, I was assigned to write about it for Billboard.com, so I watched it on a work assignment. And it probably could be my last one that I watch as well.
Wow.
Like, it was totally fine, and there was a lot of cool elements of it. I learned that there's a lot of countries. The Parade of Nations takes a long time.
But it's that's always a fun part because it's like, an Andorra. Yeah. Well, you know, Matt, in Andorra, blah, 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 blah. That's right, Meredith.
There was an Olympian who had the last name Shite, and they made it like a joke about it. Like, that's no Shite. People, your commentary might need a little bit of help.
It's sort of like if you enjoy watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, like color commentary from NBC,
it's kind of like that.
Another thing you don't watch.
Correct.
All right.
There were some interesting music moments. My personal favorite being the usage of the song "The Girl from Ipanema," which accompanied Gisele Bündchen doing her alleged final catwalk, and it was glorious. She walked like the length of the arena. They had this like projection on the ground that she was walking along as they played, you know, the most famous Brazilian bossa nova song. It was very cool. Then she danced with everybody at the end, and it was really fun.
And Gisele Bündchen, of course, is a very famous Brazilian model.
She is the supermodel, Gisele.
Gisele. what music moments do you think we'll see as the games unfold? Are we going to see Katy Perry's Rise, which is being used by NBC in their coverage of the games, perhaps climb the charts? Could we have a moment like
Phillip Phillips? Home was such a huge deal in 2012. Actually, in the opening ceremony, NBC did like an intro package for the ceremony that used the Group Love song Ways to Go. And the minute they played it, I mean, they played almost the whole song backing up this intro package. I was thinking, is this the song? Like, are they going to keep using this for their coverage?
Right.
And that would give that song such huge exposure. And I actually looked up the chart history on that song when I wrote about it in the opening ceremony recap, and that song specifically by Group Love was never in the Hot 100. So it'd be a wonder if it might make its debut years later. But honestly, in the 2012 closing ceremony in London, there were a lot of incredible British musicians performed that were also super familiar to Americans, which maybe didn't exactly happen in Rio.
Yeah, and I don't think anything is going to necessarily top what the London closing ceremonies were able to pull off. Because the London ceremonies had, just in the closing ceremonies, you had One Direction, Spice Girls, George Michael, Queen, Pet Shop Boys, Muse, The Who, Take That,
Rio.
I just don't see that happening in Rio, just because Brazil doesn't have as many familiar names to Americans, at least, or on the global scale,
right.
Whereas, like, England and America have very famous, familiar pop star names.
And you should stay tuned to our Billboard Latin coverage, because actually our coworker Griselda did a really nice interview with a singer named Anita, who performed in the opening ceremony, and I wasn't familiar with her until I read Griselda's article. So Billboard Latin has you covered for all of those artists that you might not know but will see over the next few weeks.
Well, let's hope so. I want to say, sometimes the entertainment portion of the ceremonies they're very dependent on the country that it's in.
Yeah.
When Russia hosted the Sochi Games, the biggest name that they could drum up was Tattoo.
Just incredible.
Russia, who is famously friendly to gay people, dig up Tattoo, the group who had a song that flirted with lesbianism.
Like, Are they or aren't they?
They
weren't.
These
young teenage pseudo-lesbians who were not.
the jailbait lesbian angle. No. Turns out they weren't. Let's move on to DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled!
All he does is win.
All he does is win.
No matter what.
Why wasn't that our headline?
Yeah, why wasn't that? We should have. There's still time. He debuts at number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart with Major Key, which earned 95,000 equivalent album units in the week ending August 4th, according to Nielsen Music. Of that sum, 59,000 were in traditional album sales, which is DJ Khaled's best sales week since 2007. That's crazy.
And it was exclusive to Apple Music and the iTunes store in its first week, right?
Yes, exactly. And it had a million people on it, too.
A million people. That's kind of DJ Khaled's calling card. It has Drake, Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, Nicki Minaj, Meghan Trainor. Meghan Trainor, of course. That's DJ Khaled, Meghan Trainor go hand in hand.
It's like peanut butter and chocolate. Sort of, not really.
Yeah, that's definitely his thing, the all-star posse cuts.
Right. What's interesting about the DJ Khaled being number one is that he's not a traditional like performing artist in that he doesn't sing or rap or play instruments. On the album, he contributes like shout-outs, like...
DJ Khaled.
Like, you know, like DJ drops. Like when you hear like a DJ, like a radio DJ, yeah, do like shout outs. Like that's what he does, but nothing like full on vocals.
Yeah, no verse, no rapping. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. That's just DJ Khaled's thing. So what does he do exactly, Keith?
Well, I checked because I was curious because I wanted to make sure that I referred to DJ Khaled appropriately. And it turns out on the new album, he co-wrote 13 of the 14 songs on the album, and he produced, or at least he has production credit, on 7 of the 14. So that means he was at least a producer on 7 of the 14 songs. Not a co-producer, but a producer. But that means he could have produced a song with like 1, 2, 3, or 4 other
right.
people. And in addition to that, he also executive produced the album, and he did its A&R. And A&R basically is... you know, the person who finds the songs, gets the samples, you know, finds the artists, you know, the collaborators.
He's his own artist relations
yes.
guy.
He is a self-contained artist relations executive producer, like coordinator
yeah.
person. So that said, DJ Khaled is the first artist at number one on the Billboard 200 who isn't a traditional performer in that he doesn't primarily sing, rap, or play instruments since at least the 1960s, when it was common for conductors to reach number one.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Like, you know, Henry Mancini mm-hmm. and his orchestra. Now, Henry Mancini played, I think he played the piano. Don't quote me on that. But he was a conductor, and a conductor
yeah.
isn't playing, though you're sort of playing the orchestra. It's a little bit fuzzy.
I mean, DJ Khaled is a conductor in his own right.
Well, that's kind of, that's,
you know,
like people have, people, I don't know who these people are, but
some say
Google has said in short excerpts have referred to DJ Khaled as the Quincy Jones of hip hop.
That's interesting.
And that's not a perfect comparison because Quincy Jones is a arranger, producer mm-hmm. and, you know, writer. But at the same time, DJ Khaled is kind of like that, but with technology.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different, but it's sort of similar in a way. Now, while we're a little bit murky on the exact last album to be number one, where the artist didn't, you know, play or sing on the album, but if it did happen, it would have last happened in the 1960s, as every artist billed album since then has been one where they've been a traditional singer, you know, rapper, a band, you know, et cetera. Like, you know, Led Zeppelin, mm-hmm. they are a band and they are the artist billed on the album. DJ Khaled, that's always kind of been a, like, sort of a running kind of like joke on the internet. It's like, what does DJ Khaled do? Because the
yeah.
songs say DJ Khaled featuring Drake and so and so, but Drake is the only person you hear on the track except for DJ Khaled at the beginning, like introing
yeah.
Drake.
I feel like the world of producers has really like led the charge to allow DJ Khaled to exist, because I think of like Mark Ronson having albums and
true.
He's never singing on those albums.
Right.
He's always, but he does
but
do he, the production.
But, and he does play instruments. He plays guitar. He plays instruments.
Yes.
David Guetta is, you know,
mm-hmm.
a, you know.
Oh yeah. Dance artist now.
Dance
you know,
artist.
Avicii.
You know, Calvin Harris though, he does sing.
That's, yes, this yeah. is true.
Funkmaster Flex though was a DJ like, is a DJ. Is a DJ like DJ Khaled, where he released a lot of albums
mm-hmm.
too, where it would be kind of the same thing, but not quite. So it's fascinating.
Yes.
And I think it's really cool what DJ Khaled has done, and also the fact that he's having such a great moment right now.
Oh, totally.
Like huge hits.
All Shout out to Snapchat.
Yes. Did Snapchat make him number one?
I mean, kind of.
Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's been around and had hits for a while, but this. Like cult of personality around him right now is entirely Snapchat.
He's very big on Snapchat.
Very big, major key on Snapchat.
Major key. Let's move on to the Billboard Hot 100. Sia's Cheap Thrills featuring Sean Paul holds at number one for a third week, while the Chainsmokers' Closer featuring Halsey debuts straight into the top 10. The song actually enters at number 9, and it marks the first top 10 debut for both the Chainsmokers and Halsey. It's actually the first top 10 period for Halsey. The song vaults in as the top-selling song of the week as well, with 103,000 downloads sold. It's the Chainsmokers' third Hot 100 Top 10 overall, and all of them have actually happened in 2016.
It's been one after another after another.
Yeah, and they all feature ladies on the tracks.
They have, yep.
Don't Let Me Down featuring Daya, and Roses featuring Roses.
And Halsey featuring Halsey.
And Halsey featuring Halsey. Next up, so far in 2016, in terms of total number of top 10 hits, only Drake and Bieber have achieved more. They each have four top 10s. Rihanna also has three, as many as the Chainsmokers. So that means the Chainsmokers are the only multi-member act, as my fellow co-director of charts, Gary Trust, calls them, a multi-member act, some could say duo or group, with as many as three Hot 100 Top 10s this year. That's pretty cool for the Chainsmokers.
They showed up. It feels like they came out of nowhere. Like, Selfie was such a novelty-seeming song when it came out a few years ago. And then the fact that now they have three top tens in a year is nuts.
I think Selfie was a full-on novelty, and then they actually came back and was like, no, no, wait.
No, we actually are good, though.
Yeah, we're actually
we
good.
We know how to make music.
We're more than just a spoofy, you know.
You liked Selfie because it actually was a good song.
Yeah. Moving away from the charts. Well, moving away from the charts, let's talk about Lady Gaga.
Let's.
Katie?
Yeah, so Gaga fans are in a bit of a tizzy right now because, according to a report from a radio DJ named Chase Murphy, there is new music coming from Lady Gaga within 30 days.
Now,
so specific.
So specific, in just 30 days.
If it's 31 days, we're going to be so angry at Chase Murphy.
Yeah, maybe he was just sort of estimating.
Yeah.
Murphy is the program director for KXXM Mix 96.1 in San Antonio, Texas, by the way. So in theory, he should know if there's actually new music coming, as Gaga's label, Interscope Records, would have tipped him off.
I was, like, skeptical when I read this report over the weekend just because it was so, like, third hand. It was like this guy who heard from another guy. But obviously radio DJs have a lot of contact with the labels and have heads up when music is coming.
Yeah.
So it's not insane.
Yeah, but it still seems weird that of all people to drop this news, it's a radio DJ in San Antonio, Texas.
And it also just seems like he might have, you know, shirked protocol there. Like, he probably wasn't supposed to say anything about that.
I'm having a feeling that they won't get a radio interview with Gaga.
He discovered just how many people listen to his show.
Yeah.
When he said that on the air. What do we think, like, what do we think this music's going to be like? Obviously, the last thing we got from her is the Oscar-nominated song with Diane Warren from The Hunting Ground.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to sound like Till It Happens to You.
I don't think it will either.
No.
So are we going to get full-on dance music back?
Are we going to get, like, a Tony Bennett duet?
I mean,
is this the Tony Bennett?
To celebrate his 90th birthday year?
Yeah.
What about our friend Red One, who we spoke with in Vegas in May? Do we feel like maybe the Red One track could be what we hear?
It could be any of these things. And you know what? We don't know.
We don't know.
We haven't the foggiest.
Maybe Gaga doesn't even know.
Maybe. Well, I mean, she was in the studio, was it earlier this year with Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
Now
that was last year, I think.
Yeah.
Nothing came of that, though.
Actually, maybe that's like for a Paul album, because he's been recording with some other people. So maybe it's for like an all-star Paul McCartney thing.
I'm here for that.
Because he also recorded with like Rihanna and
it's been since 2013 that he put an album out, too. So it's about that time.
Now we digress into Paul McCartney talk. Well, we look forward to whatever Gaga puts out because, you know, Gaga's awesome. Speaking of divas, pop divas that we know and love, or at least love, Britney Spears. Hey!
Britney's back in a big way.
Yeah, it's busy times in the Britney Spears world. She released the music video for her single Make Me on August 5th, and the video was directed by Randy St. Nicholas. Make Me is the lead single from her new album Glory, which is due out on August 26th. However, it wasn't the video fans were expecting.
Yeah, the first thing that tipped it off in my mind, at least, was the fact that G-Eazy was on a separate video screen in the video that she released.
Right.
When she had earlier tweeted a photo of the two of them together on set, her wearing, like, a costume and, you know, getting people excited about the video,
like,
and the collaboration.
Like, we're physically here together in the same room.
Yeah, so people kind of, the internet sleuths went to work.
Right.
And, you know, Brittany had also tweeted a photo, I think that you retweeted, that was
her
with a gaggle of male dancers wearing S&M gear, and none of that was in the video.
Well, they weren't wearing S&M gear. They were wearing little clothing.
It was like leather straps and whatnot.
No, they were all wearing like sort of like nude like shorts and stuff.
Oh, maybe I'm just thinking about Britney's outfit. But anyway,
maybe you're projecting. I don't know what's going on here.
But TMZ came out with little pieces of this video that now we know has got scrapped. Like,
right.
It did not come to light. It was directed by David LaChapelle. And people got kind of angry and wanted to see that video instead, basically.
Well, you know, ultimately Spears and her team, you know, reshot the video for reasons that are not still completely clear. Katie, did you watch have you watched the new video as well as the leaked footage?
Yes.
And what did you think?
Well, you really only get like two pieces of the scrapped video.
Decent size. I mean, it adds up to like a minute or so.
Yeah. But it's like, I mean, you see her in the getup. You saw her on set in doing some writhing around on the ground. You see this weird scene where a giant flat screen television is tossed out of a window.
Yeah, it lands in a pool and looks like it hits a dancer in the pool.
So
like, on purpose.
Clearly a different concept than the one that we ended up with. Like,
right.
Just absolutely different.
Because the concept that we ended up with. So the old concept looks like it was like Britney with some dancers doing some light choreography, and it's
maybe even avant-garde kind of style, like
it was
very artistic.
It was very, you know, but it was still kind of cool imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think there was like a tiger roaming around, and
there's always a tiger.
And there's the pool, and then there's like the dancer that gets hit by a TV. But it's also David LaChapelle, who is known for his striking, sort of sometimes avant-garde,
provocative.
Risque imagery, and he has worked with Britney Spears previously.
Yeah.
The video that we did get. Whole new take on it, where it's Britney and her girlfriends are basically auditioning male dancers for her video.
Yeah.
All of which have amazing ab muscles.
Except for the one guy in a fedora, but yes.
Wow. You watched it closely.
Well, I wrote it up for Billboard.com.
I mean, and then I can't quite tell, like, what is the point of the video? She's just auditioning and, like, they don't even know.
She gets caught up in the moment. One gentleman gets a lap dance. Another gentleman, all of a sudden there's a bed, and she's making out with one of the guys on a bed, and she's dismissed her friends.
It's like, what are you auditioning for? Like the role of her new boyfriend?
Maybe.
I don't know.
There were some good contenders in there if that's what she was auditioning.
I guess so. I mean, she looks amazing.
She looked incredible in this video.
She looks beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, she generally does.
Yes, but like she looked really, really great in this video.
Well, with all the drama over the unreleased video and the video that we did get, we thought we'd reach out to a Britney expert to tell us all about what's going on or what they think is going on,
right,
or what might be going on. We don't know. So we bring up Matt Stapera, BuzzFeed's deputy editorial director and a devout member of the Church of Godney. That is indeed on his title.
I hope it's on his business cards too.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Business card, what are those? Matt wrote a great piece for BuzzFeed that sums up the entire Make Me brouhaha, called "What the Hell Happened Britney Spears' Original Make Me Music Video." That's a typical BuzzFeed headline that you should definitely check out. So here's our chat with Matt, where he talks about the video switcheroo, how he feels the promotion is going so far for the rollout of Glory, and his thoughts on the album and what it might sound like. There's no escape. I can't wait. I need a hit.
Baby, give me it. You're dangerous. Welcome to the Pop Shop Podcast, Matt Stapera from BuzzFeed. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I am super, super spiffy. Thank you so much for doing this. As the world's foremost Britney Spears expert, we figured that you would be the best person to speak to about all things Britney this week because, goodness gracious, she's been kind of in the news lately. And you wrote this incredible story for BuzzFeed about her new video, Make Me, which came out last week sometime. And why everyone is in a tizzy over it. In a nutshell, why is everyone talking about this video? Because it's not a typical Britney video, because there's a lot of sort of backstory behind the video and how it didn't turn out the way people expected it to turn out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically the quick version of the story is last month we saw all these screenshots of Britney kind of naked in a red cage. We saw her doing choreography on a set. We basically saw all these screenshots for what we thought was a Make Me video. And the Make Me video was supposed to be directed by David LaChapelle. But then what happened was the video, it came out last week, and it was just kind of a completely different video than the one we were expecting. And we had heard some rumors that it had been scrapped, that it was too sexy, that Britney and David LaChapelle didn't get along. But we didn't think it was actually true until the video dropped and basically our lives were destroyed.
Our lives were destroyed. Now, has anyone actually said anything official? Because I don't think anyone, at least as of Monday when we're recording this interview, no one has actually officially said anything super on the record official. I've seen something that was quoted on E! That said there were, quote, creative differences that led to the original video not being released. Have you heard anything since then, official or unofficial, about why the video didn't come out?
Yeah, well, TMZ reported that they had an insider on Britney's team that said that the video that David LaChapelle made just didn't make any sense. And so it was kind of just a jumbled mess. And there is like a 2.5 minute long version of that video. And to be honest, it doesn't really make sense. Like, it's kind of all over the place. But in what world do music videos make sense? Like, in what way did Work Bitch, the music video, kind of have a plot line? It was just kind of visual. So that's kind of why we're confused, because music videos don't really have to make sense.
Did you find the video, the original video, at least the leaked footage that has come out? And it's curious that the footage was even leaked in the first place, which makes you wonder who leaked it. Was it David LaChapelle?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it, like, whose camp leaked the footage? Because why would you want to leak the footage unless you're trying to sort of force someone's hand? That said, what did you think of the original footage?
Visually, I thought it was great. There was this awesome kind of choreographed scene where she, you know, did a little dancing. I mean, it wasn't like any kind of old school, crazy, hard Britney dancing, but it was like sexy and, in the words of Britney Spears, cool. And basically, then there was this scene where she's on a pool, next to a pool, in a cage, and she's naked. Like, you literally see her nipples. So I think that's where this, maybe the video was too sexy part came in. Because also, Britney has a notorious history of kind of having unreleased music videos and scenes that never came out. Like, for example, during Work Bitch, she said that she took out a bunch of the scenes because they were just way too much now, and that she's a mom. And so who knows? It could also be this whole it's too sexy. But I loved the scenes. I thought it was amazing. And the fact that we have – there's 2.5 minutes out there, and the 2.5 minutes are stunning. I mean, in the video that was released, that she released officially, she looks amazing. But this one, it's just kind of visually, it's all there.
I have a theory, and maybe I don't know how well of a good of a theory this is, but maybe there's something to how, you know, there's this product placement in both videos from Orange Theory Fitness. Perhaps Orange Theory didn't like the resulting video that David LaChapelle directed. Maybe they felt it wasn't. It was too sexy, or it was too over the top, because I'm not sure if the Britney thought it was too sexy thing holds that much water, because, you know, wouldn't LaChapelle have showed her a storyboard and said, okay, now this is the lack of outfit that you'll be wearing in this scene where we're just going to paint you? Like, wouldn't she have said, no, I don't want to do that. Let's not paint me nude. Thanks. Bye. Let's do the next scene. Like, so why would you wait until the very end to be like, oh, no, it's just too much? I'm like, no, you already knew it was going to be too much, because that's what you signed up for, because you've worked with David LaChapelle before. So you knew, you've seen his work. So I mean, I can see the whole maybe it's too sexy, but that also doesn't completely hold water for me. But you know Britney better than most people do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I just saw that theory too. So basically, in the old music video, what happens is Britney takes a TV that's playing the Orange Theory commercial, and she throws it out of the window and into a pool and kills a man, basically. So Orange Theory could have been mad in theory, because it's kind of like the metaphor of kind of like throwing out the TV. I mean, that's
true.
Kind of like throwing out. Because, I mean, let's be honest, all music videos now are just filled with the product placement. Like, I don't even have an issue with it anymore because it's just how things get made. But I think that could possibly be. I mean, the fact that there are all of these theories over a Britney Spears music video is insane. And it's just kind of this never-ending struggle for Britney fans in general. I feel like we're always like, well, what happened to that music video? So who knows? Who knows? I think that we might find out, but Britney notoriously doesn't answer questions, so it might always just kind of remain a mystery.
Yeah, her interviews are usually fairly short and not incredibly in depth in general, as a general rule. So that said, we may not ever actually get a real answer from Britney anytime soon. That said, how do we feel like the new sort of the new era is going? Because the album Glory and Make Me is the first single from Glory. Glory comes out on August 26th, I believe. How do you feel the promo machine is off and running at this point in terms of the single, the video, you know, the interviews that you've heard from Britney? But how are you feeling right now?
I think in general, it's really exciting. Britney's never really announced an album like this. You know, usually she has months before an album comes out, but this is basically like 3 weeks. So it's really exciting for that. In terms of promo, there's all these rumors out right now that she's going to be doing carpool karaoke, which, as we know, is like such a huge force in kind of the music industry today. So hopefully she does that. She's doing the iHeart Music Festival, which is, honestly, as a Britney fan, it's so big for us because she hasn't done these major performances in like 6 or 7 years, probably like these live TV performances since Good Morning America, when she did like Womanizer. And then, so that all is really exciting. And it seems like her team is finally getting some of that promo correct. But also, in the same vein, the album cover is a screenshot from the new music video. So it's kind of like, what is going on with that? But we're not really holding our breath. It's so funny, I talk about we, but, like, the fan community, because her album covers are, like, notoriously simple, and who knows? I think it has nothing to do with kind of what the quality of the album will be, but I actually just heard a rumor today that she might be releasing a new song every week until the album comes out, which that would be amazing. Oh.
That sort of makes sense. You know, oftentimes an artist will release, you know, a song a week in terms of sort of the traditional, you know, countdown to a release where there's like an instant gratification track where if you pre-order the album, you can get a track. So that kind of makes sense, but also it gives, you know, Britney fans a lot of music in advance of the album dropping. And she's already released two songs from the album, Make Me, and another track, which just fell out of my head. Matt, remind me, what's the name of the other song?
Private Show.
Thank you, Private Show, where it's sort of like a doo-wop chipmunk song. It has an interesting kind of retro, squeaky feel to it. In terms of the sonic sound of the album, she described it to Ryan Seacrest as kind of urban, I believe,
yeah.
More R&B. I think she doesn't remember that she worked with the Ying Yang Twins once, but we'll see what she really means by that. Have you heard anything about sort of the content of the album itself and where that, you know, what it might sound like?
Yeah, so, I mean, she said that this album was going to be very hip-hop and kind of a hip-hop record that she's wanted to do for a while. And Britney loves the word urban. And so her throwing it out there is kind of, it was just kind of typical of for her to say. But in terms of this album, I mean, we're getting 17 tracks on the deluxe, which is we haven't gotten a record that long in a long time. So there's a lot to look forward to there. And if anything, if Make Me in Private Show are representative of the album at all, then I think that we have a lot to look forward to, because it already kind of blows away what we heard on Britney Jean, the last album, Out of the Water, I think. So she said that she's been working on it for 2 years, so hopefully in that 2 years we've got some good stuff, which she worked with, who is it, Julian Michaels and what's his name?
Justin Tranter.
Justin Tranter on some songs. So, I mean, they did Justin Bieber, Sorry, and Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez and, yeah, the whole team of Gwen Stefani. Yeah. I think that's all I have for you. When is the next time you're going to go back to the Piece of Me show in Vegas?
Hopefully in October. I've seen it twice so far, and I haven't seen the changes to the set list. And she also said that she's adding two songs from the new album, which is probably going to be Make Me in Private Show, into the residency. So hopefully Halloween time I'll be heading out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for calling in and doing this. I'm looking forward to the new glory era of Britney come August 26th.
Thanks to Matt Stapera for taking the time to speak with us. Hopefully one day we can all rendezvous at Britney's Piece of Me show in Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's on location pop shop.
Yeah, I think we can make that happen. Maybe he has an in to like Britney.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. I mean, in theory, we do too.
He is a member of the Church of Godney.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we can make it happen.
There was some late-breaking Britney news after you spoke with Matt, by the way. Another Instant Grat track will be coming this week, Wednesday, late night, midnight into Thursday, called Clumsy.
Oh.
So look out for that, Britney fans.
Funny, he was talking about how we're getting a lot of music, you know, coming out from the album.
Yeah.
And this is now that'll be the third song to come out from the album. So it seems like Britney fans are going to be delighted and elated to get all these tracks.
Indeed.
Make sure to follow Matt on Twitter. He is at Matt Stapera, and that's MattStopera. Follow him. And now it's time.
Time for what?
The Charts Dead of the Week. Yeah. This week in 1984, Ray Parker Jr. dialed up a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 with Ghostbusters. The song, with its familiar lyric, "Who you gonna call?", rose to the top of the list dated August 11th, 1984, and spent a total of 3 weeks at number one. The song even earned an Academy Award nomination for Best Original Song for 1984, and get this, all five of the nominees that year for Best Original Song were also number one hits on the Billboard Hot 100. That's the first and only time that's ever happened.
That is really crazy.
Yeah. It was up against All Odds, Take a Look at Me Now, Footloose, Let's Hear It for the Boy, and I Just Call to Say I Love You. Ultimately, I Just Call to Say I Love You took home the Oscar that year.
That's a stacked category
there. Yeah, it was a good year for movie music. You had Footloose from Footloose, Let's Hear It for the Boy from Footloose.
Also Footloose.
I Just Called to Say I Love You from, I think it was The Woman in Red.
Okay.
And Against All Odds.
From the little-known 1984 film Against All Odds.
Funny how that works out. Flash forward. I don't know why we find that so funny.
It's really funny.
It's really funny.
Halsey featuring Halsey. It all comes full circle.
Well, flash forward to 2016, and there's a new Ghostbusters in theaters, and Ray Parker Jr.'s tune is heard in both the movie and on its soundtrack. And not only is the Ray Parker Jr. version in the movie, but it's also been covered for the film by both Walk the Moon and Fall Out Boy.
Oh, I've heard the Fall Out Boy version. I didn't know about the Walk the Moon version.
Have you seen the new Ghostbusters?
Not yet.
Not yet? Neither have I.
I really want to.
Yeah. Well, so there you have it. This week, back in 1984, Ghostbusters hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters. I can't hear you. Okay. Well, I think that's it, Katie. Do you have any parting words?
I mean, we covered a lot of ground today.
We did. We got the Gaga, we got the Britney, we got the Khaled.
Also, DJ Khaled. I just want to keep saying that.
DJ Khaled. Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
Is that the problem?
DJ Khaled. I mean, should we just play All I Do Is Win now?
Ooh, yeah. Let's do that.
All right.
All I Do Is Win. See you guys next week.
Bye.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.